T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi there, I'm Katie Neal from New York's Country 94.7, and today we are joined by the loveliest of company. She just had an incredible 2019, a number one song, an ACM and a CMA nomination, and now she's got a huge 2020 in front of her with her brand new sophomore self-titled album, Carly Pierce. I'm Hello. So happy you're here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy
you
album
too.
Release.
You I know. It's like a double day.
I know. And I was just thinking, I don't know if you remember this, but it, like 2 years ago, Valentine's Day, we were playing this stupid game, you mm-hmm. and I, talking about bad dates
yes.
we had gone on as single women. And now you're married.
I know. It's
Isn't that
really,
wild?
Really weird. Yes. Life is really strange.
Would you, like, what would you have said if on that day? Because I don't even think you and Michael were dating yet.
We then, were, like,
right?
talking.
Just if I was
yeah.
like, you're going to marry Michael, right? Would you have been like, oh, I know?
Not at that point. If you would have asked me a few months later, I would have said, I know.
Definitely yeah. getting there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how was the wedding? How was the honeymoon? Everything looked beautiful.
It was awesome. All my friends who are married told me to really, really take it in. And I kind of rolled my eyes and was like, it's fine. I'm going to take it in. But I need to relive it again because it went by so fast. But it was so beautiful, so perfect for us. And our honeymoon was better than I could have even hoped for it to be.
So. Yeah, it was great. That's so awesome. I feel like you and I are at a similar point in our life. Like, everyone I know is getting married.
Yep.
The only mail I get anymore is a save the date.
So yes.
It's just like, but I love going to weddings. It's always fun. And I love seeing like different things that couples do with their ceremony and their reception, like stuff they like add or take out. Did you guys have anything like traditions that you didn't want to do or stuff that you added in that you loved?
We actually didn't have a ring bearer or flower girl, so we didn't have that.
I see a lot of people doing that and not having, like, bridal parties either anymore.
I know. We did have bridal parties, but we didn't do all that. We had, I don't know, I just felt like all of the decor and all of the food and everything was just very us. It was, we did, like, burger bars and mashed potato bars and didn't want it to feel too formal, but then, like, I love, like, boho meets country, and so I just had like black feathers and little geometric shapes and all kinds of wildflowers, and it was very us.
Did you get a wedding planner, or did you do it all on your own?
I did it on my own with
you
my mom.
Are I can't believe that you. I mean, it's great to have your mom help, but just
yeah.
like with your schedule, like, good for you.
We had a really. I always any brides out there. we did an all inclusive venue, so they took care of all of the everything's just. We didn't do food all inclusive, but. Just to not have to think about tablecloths and table settings and just tell them what you
the
want.
The little things.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you that, if you had any, like, post-nuptial advice for brides, like, things to avoid or not to do or to absolutely do.
That's what I would say. Don't pay for a wedding planner. Sorry, wedding planners out there. Unless you want that. And, like,
yeah.
for me, it wasn't. That was a wedding. I wanted it to be very beautiful, but it wasn't, like, everything to me. I just wanted to make sure that it showed our personalities and was us. But getting all-inclusive was amazing, if you're going to go the route of not getting a wedding planner.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. If you can do that with your schedule, then, like, anybody
yeah.
can do it. But enough wedding, enough
yep.
Michael Ray. Let's talk about your new album. I feel like you are radiating love, you know, in the honeymoon phase, and Valentine's Day was a perfect time for you to release this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like so many people say with the first album that you release, you have, like, no idea what's going on or what
mm-hmm.
you're doing. But with this sophomore album, like, you kind of, like, get a grip on things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that this time around?
I absolutely do. I feel like, especially for me, every little thing happened, and I was still kind of mourning the fact that nobody would give me a shot in Nashville. And literally within 2 months, I had a record deal. I was given a team, was making a record, and was out the door on radio tour. So that record, not to say that I'm not proud of it, but I think this one I was able to, number one, gain all my confidence back. I think I... Until Every Little Thing went number one, I really didn't even believe that that was happening to me and was just dealing with all of the pains of people telling me no for so long.
Well,
so
I'm sure it takes, like, a long time to get over that.
It does. And I mean, I still battle it sometimes of just not feeling good enough just because so many years I was told I wasn't. But with this record, I was able to – I knew what fans wanted from me. I knew that I had validation as far as who I was in the format.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, just a lot of things that happened to me. And I felt like in the ways that I overcame so many things within myself in the industry. I overcame things in my personal life and dealt with a lot of things that ultimately I feel like now that I'm about to turn 30 are just like clean slate, new year, new decade. This album just shows that I'm comfortable in who I am.
Totally. I feel like there's a clarity. I just turned 30, but I do feel like everyone talks about like the clarity that you get as you start to turn 30. Like mm-hmm. you know who you are and you're comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird, like that transformation that you go through. And it's cool that now you have this album that also reflects that part of your life. I wanted to talk to you about some of the specific songs because I've had the chance to listen to the album and I love it. It's wonderful. But one of the songs, It Won't Always Be Like This. I love that song. And that's one that you co-wrote on the album. Is this an older song or is this newer?
It was the last song I wrote for the album.
It was?
Yeah.
I wondered because it reminded me a little bit of Every Little Thing. I was like, I wonder if she was in the same headspace when she wrote this or how often or how recent you had written it.
I wrote it with Natalie Himby, who's one of the High Women with Maren Morris, and she's an amazing writer, and she and I, we've always been close as far as just people in the industry and people that I look up to but also feel like are real. And she and I have always bonded over our loves of our grandfathers. And I just really wanted, I felt like I didn't, I kind of look at my album as like a puzzle. So the last puzzle piece for me was a song that was as authentic and almost universal as Every Little Thing. And I really wanted to tell my story of really summing up this album in like the last couple years of what I've learned. And she and I just started talking with Sam Ellis, who's another writer in town, and I've never cried during a writing session, but I really, this one was so personal. The second verse talks about watching all my friends get record deals and not understanding why I didn't get one and missing my grandpa and missing home and finding love and understanding why all those relationships didn't work out. And that one is just, I feel like no matter who you are, even though that's my story, you can insert your own story into it because we all reminisce and wish we could have had things differently or just different parts of life. It's not time, and we don't get that until we see actually what's going to happen.
It's hard when you're in the middle of a heartache, and I feel like that's the important message behind that is to remember that like life will go on. It will get better. It's not always going to be this way. And I just love that beautiful song. Another song that I loved on the album was Call Me, which was written by one half of Little Big Town and then your late amazing producer, who, by the way, I am so sorry about Busby. I did not know him, but he was one of those people that I admired, and I always hoped that I would like run into him at an industry event, and you were one of the first people I thought of when I heard he'd passed away. But
yeah,
I would assume now having this record that you guys worked on together like, means even more to you now to have that.
I mean, Busby signed me in 2015 and worked with me and became family to me, and this is the last full body of work that he finished. And we were finishing I Hope You're Happy Now when he found out that he had brain cancer, and in 8 weeks he died.
It was so sudden.
It was so, it's so devastating. But I think for me, the way that I can look at it is we felt like this album was going to take me to the next level. And I'm so grateful that I got the last record that he ever made. It feels right because of who he was to me and what I feel like I was to him. And I know it's going to be, I get to take his legacy and keep it going through the music and through songs. And I have this whole new body of work that he did with me. And talk about a new meaning coming to It Won't Always Be Like This. We had no idea that this was going to be the end. But to get back to Call Me, Busby was the king of funk. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, he's written so many songs that are just funky.
Like great and horn sections, like in Lady Antebellum, You Look Good.
Totally. He has a swagger. He had a swagger. And to mix, when I heard it, it had horns. It had a You Look Good feel to it. And I was like, look, I love this song because, you know, Little Big Town was supposed to be, Hide the Wine was supposed to be a Little Big Town song. They actually cut that song. And then it ended up not making the record, and I stole it. And same with this song. Like, you can totally tell they were writing that for Karen Fairchild to sing because she's so swaggy, and I love her so much. So when I heard it, I was like, wait a minute. In the same way that I heard Hide the Wine and that sassy thing, I was like, I want that song. So we just kind of changed it up, put a lot of dobro on it, and it's so fun. I can't wait to play it live.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. And another one that I really like was your duet with your husband, Michael Ray.
Yeah.
Finish Your Sentence?
Finish Your Sentence.
Finishes Your Sentences. I thought that was such a cool song. Did you guys, I know your schedules are crazy, but did you get to record that together or did you do it separate?
We actually did our parts separate. We recorded a demo version of it together, and then Busby didn't want us to be together when we were recording it. I think he wanted to push both of us. So we recorded it separately. But that's one of those songs when I heard it, I was like, why didn't I think of that? Because that sentiment is such a thing that people say, like, oh my God, he finished my sentences. And we actually finished each other's sentences on the song, which I think is just
so cool. Neat. I wasn't expecting that when I was listening to it. Also, yeah. I love that. That's so, like, that's like a thing that I feel like really flies so well in country music.
Totally.
Like, you can't do that in pop and make it sound cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm really excited for us to be able, you know, just to be able to have our first song together out that we can play at shows instead.
Have you played it yet live?
No, we haven't.
Well, hopefully we'll get to hear that soon. But I love that. And what I thought was so cool about that song, and I noticed this when you released the track list for your album, was that Jesse Fraser, Ashley Gorley, Thomas Rhett, and Kelsey Ballerini mm-hmm. were the ones who wrote that song. And talk about just like some of the biggest songwriters. Yeah. And when the track list came out, Michael actually had a show in New York, and I remember going and I was like, I am just so excited to see you have like all of these, like the songwriting community, like all of these huge names get behind you on this record. Like, yeah. That's got to feel great, right?
It really does. I mean, I was a songwriter first and went to town and used to go to the Bluebird and watch all these people and just admired what they do and also know just what it means to be able to have an entire album and call them co-writers and writers and have them send me songs and have them want to write with me and all of those things. So it's like that in itself just feels like an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's so great. And like I said, I love that song. Do you remember the first time you heard it or how that got back to you guys?
I do. Thomas and Scott Borchetta from Big Machine, they sent it to me and I was on the road. They were like, we want you to sing this with your new boyfriend. And I was like, okay, but what if we don't date for very long? What if something happens? But I listened to it and I immediately knew who it was. And I texted Kelsey and she was like, oh my God, I love that song so much. And it just felt like for me now, seeing we were engaged when we recorded it, and it was like, that is the sentiment of this and the spirit of this record, is that we fell in love during this record. We will have our moments to sing those big love song ballad mm-hmm. duets, but I wanted it to be a fun representation of what exactly happened during this record, which was falling in love.
Yeah, which is so cool. That's an amazing thing to have. And then finally, my favorite song is your current single right now, I Hope You're Happy Now, which is just so much fun. The first time that the label came and played it for us, I was like, oh my God, play it again. I love this so much.
Thank you.
Such a great song. You wrote that with Luke Combs.
I did.
Which is so cool. Like, everything about that writing session, like, tell us about that. How great was it?
I played a radio show with Luke when Hurricane was out. Mm-hmm. So this was like pre-explosion of Luke Combs. And I just loved his voice. And I knew that we were the same age. And I knew he grew up like I grew up, loving the 90s country. And I asked him, I was like, look, I want to write with you. And I've never asked to write with another artist ever. And I was like, but I want to write with you. And he was like, okay, cool. And we kept the date. It was like a couple months out. Neither one of us canceled. And we went in, and I had just broken up with somebody in my past that was the inspiration of this song. And I was like, look, I'm dating Michael Ray now. And I just feel like I had fallen out of love with this person long before I told them. And I had to kind of make a decision of loving myself enough to know that wasn't my forever, even though this wasn't a bad person. Mm-hmm. And Luke immediately was like, oh my gosh, I want to play the role of your mad ex-boyfriend. And I was like, okay. So we did like a duet, but it's not like a love duet. And it really was like the first verse, as soon as he had the idea, I hope you're happy now. And he started playing chords, and I just, this has really never happened to me either, but the entire first verse up to the chorus that you hear me sing just fell out of my mouth.
That was like so crazy.
And I think it was just because I needed to say it so badly, and I knew I wasn't going to get the opportunity to say this to this person, so I decided to say it as if he were Luke. And we finished that song in two different sessions, and I loved it, and Luke was in the middle of his album launch and things, and I didn't want to wait on it. So they gave me permission to ask, and I just knew, I don't know how to explain it, but I knew Lee Bryce was the voice.
He sounds incredible on it.
He just, every time I've ever played with him, he literally brings me to tears the way he sings.
He's one of the nicest people I've ever met, too.
He's so nice.
Like, such a big teddy bear.
He's so underrated as far as like how great of a, I feel like people are like, oh my gosh, Lee sounds so good on this song. And I'm like, do you understand how great of a singer he is? I don't know that you
incredible
do.
Vocalist.
And I feel like on that song, he kind of is able to really shine. And he was immediately in, and he sent it back to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, you took this song to even a place that I didn't even know vocally it could go because you're that good.
Yeah, it was incredible. Was there any part of you, I was curious, like you said, you didn't get the chance to say this to this person that you broke up with and then started dating Michael. Like, did you ever talk to him again, like, after this song came out or anything like that? Like, what, did you ever, I mean, I guess, did you hesitate to put it out? Were you like, this is so, like, it's a very vulnerable song for you and for the other person also.
This, I Hope You're Happy Now, and then there's another song on the album called Halfway Home. And
which I wondered if that was kind of related in the same.
And as a songwriter, you almost, I don't know, like, I had to write Halfway Home. I wrote Halfway Home in the back of my tour bus one night. And I had to write that one before I could write I Hope You're Happy Now. But I had to make a decision. Am I going to exploit this relationship on this record? And I just felt like it was too big of a crucial, pivotal moment for me to find true happiness that so many of us get stuck in. You just get comfortable. And it's not that this person or you would have a not have an okay life. It's just, it's not forever, and you know it, and you know it in your gut, and you just know.
No, totally.
And so I know that he knows. I have heard that he knows, and he's not very happy about it. And, you know, I hope that in time when he does find his forever and he can see that this wasn't correct and it wasn't the right relationship, that he can look back and even in the way that I made the music video, like at the end, it's very sweet. It's a sweet moment of us looking at each other and being okay. And I hope that he can get there.
Yeah, I totally don't feel like you've exploited it. I feel like, it's a reflection of where you are in your life. And I do feel like it is a very sincere and sweet and beautiful song.
But it's so hard when it really is a real person.
I'm sure that was incredibly difficult. You know? I can't even imagine.
It's such a weird, what we do is so weird, but it's like, I feel like fans really connect with me when I'm 100% honest. And I had to go there, and it shows. Now I'm saying, you know, and when I wrote out the first message about the song and I wrote at the very end, I genuinely hope you're happy now. I sent it to my mom, and my mom was like, I don't think you should say that last part.
Really?
And I was like, no, I have to. And I just felt like immediately when I decided to be that vulnerable again, just like every little thing, it was like people just really resonated with that. And it's like, I do. And it really is real. So I have to just be honest.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Did you ever see the movie 500 Days of Summer?
Yes.
It didn't work out. And he was so heartbroken. But then in the end, like, once he met Autumn, which was hilarious, like, he was able to have that perspective. And that's kind of what that song reminds me of.
And even, like, the end of La La Land, where you look and, like...
So true.
That was what I wanted the end of the video to look like. I referenced that because it's, like, that moment where they're okay. Even though it's hard. Because it doesn't mean, you know, it was sad for me, too, even though it wasn't real.
Yeah. Completely. It's almost, it's just as hard sometimes to be the breaker of the relationship as it is to be the one that's broken up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that song. The record's incredible. Thanks. I'm so happy for you and to see all the amazing things that are going to happen in 2020. You know, I adore you and hope that you guys will eventually just move to New York so we can all hang out.
Oh my gosh, come on with
Wouldn't
it.
That be great?
That would be so fun.
Carly Pearce, your new album out right now. You can get that everywhere music is sold and check it out at CarlyPearce.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.